O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us and grant us thy peace. Amen. The text of God's word for this Good Friday evening is found in the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 2, reading from verses 14 through 15 as follows. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, the only Redeemer of fallen mankind, dearly beloved fellow watchers with him in his bitter passion. In the sermon yesterday evening, we reviewed the institution and the significance of Holy Communion, or the Lord's Supper. We took the opportunity, as brethren, to eat of the bread and to take drink of the cup of the New Testament. Not the testament in the blood of the Passover lamb for deliverance from the final plague upon the land of Egypt, but, as Jesus pledged to his disciples, the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. And while we celebrate this Holy Supper and declare our confidence in his vicarious atonement often throughout the year, it was appropriate that also on Maundy Thursday, the very night in which he instituted this supper with his disciples, we also partook of it and gave it prime position in our minds and in our hearts. This evening, we assemble ourselves together for the final time in this Lenten season, once again to focus our attention and our meditation upon our Savior's great passion, which he endured for our redemption, specifically tonight on his death on the tree of the cross. While the death of Jesus Christ, our Lord, ought to be an object of our attention and appreciation every day, it is appropriate that we Christians pay special attention to Christ's loving and willing sacrifice on Good Friday, the very day on which our Savior died. We have focused on various aspects of our Messiah's redemption thus far in our midweek meditations, and tonight all of those aspects come back into view as we direct our attention to the very climax of his redemptive work and consider, with the writer to the Hebrews, the assurance of our redemption in our Lord Jesus' death. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, our text begins. The concept and the reality of our Savior's death began already at his incarnation, as we just reviewed on Palm Sunday. The great manifestation of love by God the Father and the humble and self-sacrificing act of condescension by our dear Lord Jesus, that the eternal Word would willingly become true man, fashioned like one of his creations, is a crucial component of the plan of salvation ordained before the foundation of the world. Our dear Messiah took upon himself, took into his person, all of the constituent parts of the human body, including its fragility and its mortality. He was made in the likeness of men, and he was found in fashion as a man, St. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. In our text for this evening, the writer to the Hebrews teaches us, by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, that Christ took part of flesh and blood, just as we do when we are conceived and born. And he took part of them for very specific reasons. He also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. In order to present unto God his precious blood as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, as a real, perfect, and atoning sacrifice, in order to become the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world, in order to destroy the devil and his power, and in order to deliver us from the fear of death and its wretched bondage, our Lord Jesus had to die. It was he that had to die, because none of us could accomplish any of those objectives for ourselves. The redemption of our souls is precious. No, that ability of ours, that ship had sailed long ago. Before any human being was ever conceived and born in the natural way, we had lost that opportunity. The human race had become hopelessly corrupted ever since Adam and Eve were overcome by the devil's temptation and willingly ate the fruit of the forbidden tree. And so the Lord Jesus' instruction to Nicodemus has always and will always remain true: that which is born of the flesh is flesh, conceived and born in sin, purely carnal, lost and condemned, and ruined in body and soul. Yes, from the very moment of our conception, we were totally vulnerable to the crafty working of Satan, and we were completely exposed to God's just wrath because of our inherited guilt and because of our wickedness. You see, brethren, we not only passively existed in that depraved and unsheltered state, but we willingly remained there. We, just like every other natural man born into this world, did not like to retain God in our mind, Paul writes in Romans chapter 1. And we brought forth wicked works, and we had pleasure and them that also brought forth wicked works. And we did this in spite of our natural knowledge of God's judgment, that they which do such things are worthy of death. We knew that death was God's judgment upon us. And in our natural state, we didn't care. Looking back now, how terrifying a state it was in which we languished. It was only by the working of the Holy Ghost, through the pronouncement of his holy and revealed law, that the hardness of our hearts was broken. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces, he asks through the prophet Jeremiah? It was only by that working that we were rendered afraid of death and terrified by the just wrath of God, which still hovered over our spiritually exposed and naked souls. We saw our hideous reflection in the mirror of his law, and we saw that we were bound in this state by an adversary too strong for us even to begin to fight. And we could not of ourselves find any way to escape from this spiritual nightmare. But our merciful and gracious God did not leave us in that hopeless state. He caused his precious gospel to be preached to us. Even the very gospel message of our text, the exhibition of his dear Son, the Messiah, as the one who defeated our adversary for us, and as the one who delivers or pulls us out of Satan's dark and miserable prison. By the Holy Ghost, through that unspeakably good news, we were moved earnestly to desire that merciful and gracious salvation. And as we look into his precious word, and as we gaze upon his cross again this evening, we are comforted to see his dead body lifted up for all the world to see. We see the evidence of his completed work for our ransom and for our redemption. We see the earnest, or the pledge, that our adversary's power over us has been destroyed. And we see with our eyes of faith that we are no longer entangled in the bonds of sin and death, but rather we are safe in the strong hand of our Heavenly Father for Jesus' sake. What a wonderful irony it is, brethren, that having watched him in his bitter passion over the last several weeks, having witnessed all of the abuse and all of the agony which our Savior endured, and having again this evening witnessed his death on the accursed tree of the cross, how ironic that we take comfort in such gruesome images. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, we are healed. And we joyfully read and confess this with the prophet Isaiah in his 53rd chapter, as just read before. We are beneficiaries of Jesus' work. And in his completed work, including his death on the cross, we have the assurance of our text. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. God has directed the good news of his gospel to all mankind, not only to those who are already believers, so that whosoever recognizes himself as a poor, miserable sinner, hopelessly bound in Satan's prison house and in need of a Savior, should, by the working of the Holy Ghost, find himself included as an intended beneficiary of Jesus' work. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Any and every poor sinner should take comfort that it was Jesus' all-sufficient payment whereby God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And it is his work whereby any and every poor sinner is invited in the word of reconciliation, be reconciled to God. And it is the good news of the gospel which reassures any and every poor, miserable sinner that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Therefore, dear brethren, by God's free grace, following the Lord Jesus' instruction of Nicodemus, we look in faith to the Son of Man lifted up, and we are assured that we shall not perish, but have eternal life. Like the image of the Passover in Egypt, we, by faith, gather together in the house marked by the blood of our perfect Passover Lamb, confident that according to the Lord's promise, we shall be saved from the plague outside. especially considering where we were and what we deserve because of our sins. What greater news and assurance could we ever hope to be given? But while we are so eagerly comforted because of our free salvation by grace for Christ's sake through faith, we ought to be aware during our sojourn here on earth that there are still many not looking in faith upon the Son of Man. And there are many who remain outside of the house marked by their Savior's blood, right where we were before we were pulled under our Heavenly Father's safe cover. Because he tells us that he will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth, and because we are to disciple all nations, let us, motivated and enabled by the Holy Ghost through his gospel, show true love for our neighbors by spreading his word also to them. After all, the Messiah died for all, and he is lifted up for all the world to see as the propitiation for their sins, in order that whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. While spreading his word to others, letting also our light so shine before men, let us never be tempted to place any confidence whatsoever in ourselves, or dare to think that anything that we poor sinners bring to the table counts anything before God for our redemption, justification, or salvation. Instead, let us continually value and treasure the sacrifice that our Lord Jesus made on the tree of the cross, his death, by which we, who were all our lifetime subject to bondage, have been delivered. Amen. We confess with the hymn writer, I know that though in doing good I spend my life, I never could atone for all I've done. But though my sins are black as night, I dare to come before thy sight because I trust thy Son. In him alone my trust I place. Come boldly to the throne of grace and there commune with thee. Salvation sure, O Lord, is mine, and all unworthy, I am thine, for Jesus died for me. Amen. O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us and grant us thy peace. Amen.